Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Looking for something to do after Halloween is over? Are you into the strange, bizarre, and unusual? On November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, the Strange Realities Conference is coming back to Nashville, Tennessee, and streaming online. Come join us for 3 days exploring mysteries, supernatural, the occult, weird history, and more, featuring lectures, presentations, and workshops by Tim Banal, Zach Hunt, Cheslin Vance, Bryn Collier, Tobias Whalen, Brent Rains, Joshua Kutchen, Kiki Dombrowski, Recluse, Nathan Isaac, Christopher Ernst, Aaron Gullius, David Metcalf, Timothy Renner, Mallory Sawinski, Soraya Azcap, and special guest Steve Berg as your Master of Ceremonies. Make sure to join us for the fun and informative weekend online and at SIR Nashville November 3rd and 4th and online only November 5th. Tickets are available at strangerealitiesconference.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Conspiracy Normal. We've got something a little bit different tonight that we're doing, which is a roundtable discussion, something we have not done in a minute on this show. So we've got a powerhouse for you guys tonight.
All high initiates in the mystic crew in the ancient circle of strange realities.
All high initiates, yes. And the highest initiate, the Grand Poobah, is here too. We'll get to him in a second. But we've got Chris Corey is here.
Hello.
Vincent Treewell.
Hey, happy to be here. Nothing I'd rather
happy
do.
To have you. And definitely last but not least, Dr. Future is with us.
Salutations.
Dr. Future. Great to have you here. Blessed Dr. us.
Great to have you here, Dr. Future.
Oh, it's so, the pleasure is all mine.
When I was coming up with this idea for doing this roundtable, what I wanted to do is to talk about some of the crazy things that I could just now see daily on what is now called X, which is where I mainly see conspiracy stuff now. Facebook, I still see it, but not as much as I see it on X. Like, it's just gotten crazier and crazier.
You think that's meant like a shift in your algorithm too?
It could be, yeah. Actually, you know, like, we talked to Kelly last week. She said she's seeing the same kind of things.
Yeah.
And then some other person has told me the same thing. So I thought maybe it's just me. Maybe I keep looking at these things and it keeps spitting them out. But apparently, and other people have said as well, that like, since Musk took over, it's gotten much more right wing kind of trolly on there.
Well, yeah, it's gotten nasty. But then like, after it's gotten nasty, it seems like the algorithms are also pushing the nastiness, you know?
Right. And so I just see like just like crazy stuff daily. One of the things that I just like, we're recording this on the Labor Day night, and one of the crazy things that I saw just yesterday was this rumor that this whole like Burning Man situation where they're like stuck out there, that Ebola is spreading. And Forbes has come out and said, I don't know why Forbes was involved, but they came out and said that no, Ebola is not spreading at Burning Man. I mean, it's a bad situation. People are stuck out there and people could be getting, could possibly getting sick, but it's probably not Ebola.
As of right now, I want to say real quick that they have lifted the driving ban and people are starting to get out.
People are starting to leave.
Yeah.
But yesterday, on Sunday, the 3rd, as we're recording this, this was just going crazy all over social media, TikTok, Twitter, sorry, X. I have a hard time. It had just been going crazy that Ebola was spreading there. And now it's just kind of like dying down. So these things just sprout up, come into being, and then kind of like die back down.
The next day.
And then but nobody.
I saw what started it, right? Was like this, a fake screenshot. And then like the person posting and say, the CDC just posted this, but then they took it down. But this is a screenshot I got from it.
Yeah.
And so that's all you need.
We all know that Marjorie Taylor Greene had a sit down with Alex Jones and said that the whole thing was an act of God and it was to convince people of the climate change agenda. And yeah, I mean, that happened.
About Burning Man?
Yes, specifically about Burning Man, that it was all a setup. They were trapped there by an act of God, but they were going to remember it as like part of the climate change conspiracy. I can't make big enough scare quotes around that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene's meeting with Alex Jones, like within the last day or two, and saying that's what happened.
I was waiting for something bad to happen, and then they'd be like, it's a sacrifice to the Wicker Man, and they'd just start,
Oh, she accused the whole thing of being satanic, obviously.
Yeah, new satanic panic elements and these type of things. The conspiracy narrative is just, like, very alive and well, and just doesn't seem to go away. There was another thing that I was going to make a point about, but now I seem to have forgotten it. But so I wanted to kind of review some of these things that I've been looking at, and if you guys have anything that you've been looking at, we'll rewind back to the ancient time of June of this year, because it feels like, these things have like a really short shelf life. You guys, I'm sure, are familiar with the movie Sound of Freedom. Mike and I have actually talked about this on his show, and I've been wanted to kind of talk about it as well. This is the movie that's about child trafficking and has become a very big hit over the summer. And over the summer, people were going to the movie theaters and there were these claims that the movie theaters were being shut down, or like people were being turned away from the theater, are right in the middle of the showing that the movie would stop, or they would come out and say that the air conditioning was not working, these type of things. So there became this huge big thing on social media, especially on X and on TikTok. And it seems like these are the two ones that really, you see these things the most, because a lot of TikTok videos are screenshotted and reposted and put on X on that platform. People were saying, though, that this is a conspiracy. They don't want us to see this. And then the other thing was, why the showings were sold out? They were being told the showings were sold out. And some people on the other side of the aisle, on the left, were saying that this was kind of being astroturfed by people on the right to make it seem like this movie was doing better than it was. And there's also the element that the movie stars Jim Caviezel, and Caviezel is, I don't know how much he was in 2018 when the movie that was actually made in 2018, but not released until this year. And so there's another whole set of conspiracies about that. because Disney was supposed to release it. So we all know that Disney is in league with the child trafficking pedophiles that love adrenochrome. But anyway, Jim Caviezel is huge into QAnon. He is very much into those narratives, and indirectly Sound of Freedom became this huge cause célèbre among some of the QAnon crowd as well, even though it does not reference QAnon. It is not a specifically a QAnon movie, but it became very much embraced by those people. And so when things started going wrong in movie theaters, which probably happens all the time across the country, and you would never hear about it if it was some other movie, but with this movie specifically, they said, we don't want you to know, you don't need to know about this. And they were shutting the movie theater down. So this was a huge thing. I know Mike has done some research on Tim Ballard, who is the guy that Jim Caviezel plays in the movie, and how things on about him are not on the up and up. And maybe if Mike wants to talk about that, we can a little bit. But I'd like to see if you guys have any insight.
I mean, maybe everybody doesn't recognize the name Jim Caviezel, but he played Jesus Christ in right. Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. That's his big role. That's what he's going to be known for the rest of his life. And so, yeah, he's a huge figure in that way. And that's just what I was vibing with. But yeah, a lot of these stories go out there and then they drop off, but people still remember them as being true, even though they've been debunked countless times.
You know, if I could clarify a little bit of what you say, Adam, the promotional interviews that Jim Caviezel's been doing for this movie, when they talk about how it reflects like real world networks that are being broken up, he has interjected the adrenochrome part, the adrenochrome harvesting as part of it. And so they have made that even post-production part of the discussion. And as you know, I covered some information from a 2020 Vice report. So before all this big mania with the movie came up, and in there, that Tim Ballard was already talking about and at least referencing or responding to the whole Wayfair conspiracy, that Wayfair furniture was somehow putting kids in the furniture and sending them out. And giving legitimacy to that.
It was either that they were like the kids were in the furniture, or you were actually buying a kid and not the furniture because of the like really inflated, ridiculous prices that they had on their site. And that was another thing. I mean, wow, when was that? Was that 2020, I guess, that happened?
Maybe 20. Yeah, COVID times.
Yeah. And people were really just like, you know, people were really freaking out about that. But again, you know, that's something that like lasted probably like a week, if that, and then just kind of died away. But these things do accumulate, and
they get disproven, but people don't remember them getting disproven. They just remember the allegation, and that's it happens again and again.
As you started talking about this, what I was interested in seeing is because I couldn't remember who was distributing this film, and I looked it up and I remembered that it's Angel Studios, and
that's right.
So then what I was looking up is, well, who does Angel Studios have contracts with? What kind of cinemas is it being shown in? And they are partnered with, you know, AMC, Cinemark, Regal, Landmark Cinemas, and then, you know, a bunch of other sort of smaller regional ones, but you know those names. And when you go on the Angel Studios website, there's actually this this pleading letter, and I don't know if you saw this, stop me if you did, but it says Angel Studios is a platform and studio empowering filmmakers to crowdfund, create, blah blah blah. We understand there are rumors predominantly in social media that AMC theaters have made it difficult for fans to see Sound of Freedom in local AMC theaters, and we want to make it clear these rumors are not accurate, states Brandon Purdy, head of Angel Theatrical Distribution. AMC has been an outstanding partner for Angel Studios, and in fact, as a result of the movie's performance and consumer demand, AMC has agreed to add additional screens for The Sound of Freedom this weekend. I mean, it goes on in this vein, but I think it's so funny that this is just obviously a business, you know, like it's so flatly like we don't want to lose our partnership with AMC. We can't have the people that are into this movie shit talking
distributor,
the theater chain in the country. I don't know if it's actually been I don't think it was astroturfed from the inside anyway, because I think Angel Studios is probably really small. This is probably the biggest thing they've done. It seems like they do like partial crowdfunding on some of their stuff. Like I'm just skimming here and it looks like they went into bankruptcy in around 2016. And then they used crowdfunding to sort of dig themselves out of the hole, which is pretty interesting.
My understanding is that they're kind of like outside of Hollywood. And I think there's like a lot of more middle America and Mormon money in it.
Yeah, I mean, they're based in Provo, so you got to assume that there's a Mormon connection. It says that they employ 100 to 250 people, which is also bigger than I would have guessed. So it seems like, I mean, based on everything, the pieces that we have here, like they just bought this shelved movie. And specifically because the right is hot for child trafficking right now. They just can't get enough of it. And so I bet they bought this movie for nothing. And they knew that you could, I bet they did promote it through alternative channels. Even if they bought this movie for like $1 million, you could rack up probably like $10 million in just streaming to people like, you know, in the alt-right.
I can tell you, AMC is the movies where I live.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. It's the movies. If you're going to go to a theater, it's going to be AMC. Yeah. And I don't think they care about the political content at all. As long as we're filling all the seats. Are you kidding me? You know, it's a money-making machine. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I think happened. People crowdfunding, but that's from outside.
So it looks like Sound of Freedom... Oh, wow. I didn't know Mira Sorvino was in this thing. That's too bad.
Yeah, she plays his wife.
Oscar winner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, imagine that.
Oh, yeah, she's an A-list actress that just ended up a bad role, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if she's done anything really major in the past few years, but it unfortunately, it's hard to be a middle-aged woman working in Hollywood.
If I could add about the Mormon connection there, I don't know if outside of Adam, if any of y'all heard my last show I did talking from the 2020 study on this about the overwhelming Mormon operation of Operation Underground Railroad. But Mr. Ballard, he is definitely a practicing Mormon. I think they got 8 or 9 kids. But that's sort of pervasive in the organization. And back then, years before all this picked up, before COVID and everything else, they were still bringing in tens of millions of dollars that to this day, nobody knows where that money went for this. But they're using a law firm to protect them from people asking questions about their finances and associations. And it's the main law firm for the Mormon Church. And it's the main one in the state of Utah called Kenton McConkie, I believe. And the founders of Kenton McConkie were all the like top leaders in the Mormon Church and their philosophical writers and such. And the irony is that when you try to leave the Mormon Church, if you want to do that and not go through the clergy of the Mormon Church, you have to give a notarized letter to this law firm to get out of the Mormon Church. And the same law firm in the 90s, in conjunction with the Mormon Church, set up a hotline, a sexual abuse hotline that when people in the Mormon church, whether it's clergy or other people that see it in their community, in their circles, if they see what appears to be confessions of sexual abuse, they're not supposed to report it to the authorities. They're supposed to report it to this law firm that this Operation Underground Railroad uses. And according to the Associated Press last year in their reports, there were sexual abuse of like little kids for years and years and years going on that never got reported to the authorities because it was only going to this law firm and just dying there. And I find that very ironic that this operation is supposedly rescuing all these kids from sexual slavery, whereas the other people connected with this within their own ranks seem to be shelving and burying actions in their own roofs of long-term sexual abuse.
Mike, can you also mention how Underground Railroad has basically been like kidnapping grown adults?
Oh, yeah. Well, something that they don't talk about on there, but the people who have been, you know, rub shoulders with them and have reported, when they go into these other countries and do these rescues, a lot of times they're going into brothels where they're grown adult prostitutes. And a lot of these prostitutes are fighting them off. And there was another one called, I think it was like International Justice something Institute. It was a Christian predecessor to Underground Railroad that actually set the protocol, the game plan. And so this outfit is just actually taking on their operation. And what they both would do would just pick up everybody, including grown adults and ones that were kicking and screaming and trying to fight them, say, no, I want to be here. And, you know, I don't know if that part makes it in the videos. Their main thing is to be able to create reality TV. There's no low-key political thing where they sit and meet and have a discussion and then they come open the door and let people out because they paid somebody off or gave some forms or whatever. There's got to be these dramatic raids where they've got to have cameras and they bust a door open and everybody's got to be shocked, and it makes wonderful TV. And, you know, that's what people have an appetite for these days. They want to see something that's reality TV and it's got to have some element of excitement. And that's where they put a lot of their money in. And I don't know if what that knowledge is has been translated over to the people who made this film or not. But in controlling images and public relations, these guys are really, really good at it.
About the studio, because I think this is really, really interesting, actually. They crowdfunded like everything related to the distribution of this, which is so weird to me. Just because I don't think that's a model that has existed for very long. What they did was they sort of like pitched this movie to something like 7,000 people that are almost like bought into the company as like, it's almost like Patreon subscribers or something like that. Like they don't hold like a significant stake of the company. And then if those people gave it the thumbs up, then they allowed for them to like, to crowdfund for the actual like distribution costs, which, seems like they needed $5 million to, you know, just to make the distribution of this movie happen with the theaters and everything. And so for one thing, it seems like a pyramid scheme, but it seems like what they're doing is going to the people that are then going back to see this and telling, bringing their families and telling their friends at their churches.
Just like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And a big thing that I remember hearing about this when it first started kind of popping off and going viral was the Pay It Forward campaign, where they were people were paying for tickets so that other people could go for free to see this important movie.
Yeah. And that's how it was actually selling out. So it would actually sell out if you went. So most movie theaters, you know, you got to choose your seat. So there's some theaters that do that. And those theaters that do that, if you people were going and looking at the time, so like maybe like 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, it was a showing of Sound of Freedom was already sold out. So they'd be like, well, how is that possible? 3:30 in the afternoon on like a Monday or a Wednesday or something. And that was the thing, is like, but when they would actually go there, nobody's in there. And it was part of this pay it forward thing. So people were doing that. They were paying it forward, but either the people they were paying it forward to, either they didn't show up or they would go see another movie. And that was something that also happened with this too.
It's the same technique Conspiranormal uses with their Patreon system. Nobody knows where the hundreds of millions of dollars have gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the hundreds of dollars. Yeah, the hundreds of millions.
I mean, the bandwidth that they can't support the bandwidth when Conspiranormal is on. Everybody can't use their cell phones or things because they're buying all of the time on Patreon for Conspiranormal.
Right.
If I may, regarding AMC, they do the same thing with legit movies like Oppenheimer. Me and my son went to see it, and the place was packed. And you had to choose your seat. So, and our choices were very limited. So I think AMC is just literally taking the money on this thing and doesn't have any connection to, they don't care as long as they get paid, and they get paid a lot. That happened.
But it's a conspiracy.
The pay it forward was kind of, you know.
But yeah, it's just like a pyramid scheme, like you were saying, Chris. If people are crowdfunding, they're like, invest in the movie, and then if you can help get the movie big, then maybe you can get some money. It's just like,
I was just going to say, I thought about that. It's sort of the perfect audience for a movie theater, because let's say COVID picks back up, which it is in some areas, the BA26 and others, and how that hurt the theaters. Well, this crowd will still pack out theaters because they don't care about any of that. So even if we have something really terrible going on, the theater owners know that they'll pack in like sardines. For these kind of, sort of like, get their Herman Cain award, you know.
Yeah, there's like this whole I don't want to call it counterculture, but I think they think of themselves as like countercultural media environment, you know, that still, they talk about how they're being canceled and all this stuff just because mainstream Hollywood isn't as politically incorrect as it used to be. But these people are still like, you know, it's still a big industry. They're still packing stadiums with this type of stuff. They're still making tens of millions of dollars off of movies. Like, they're not victims, and it's not really that marginal of a thing at all.
I think, like, not only do they want the people who are not going to be concerned about COVID, but they want, you know, families. This is, I think, a movie that families are getting brought to, you know, which is wild.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing to,
yeah. Well, you're right.
That's where it, you know, that's what you guys have been talking about for a long time now. That's what Mike's been talking about for a long time. You see the people at your old church, Mike, who are, they've all been indoctrinated into this this weird storyline that they're, you know, making up in real time.
You know, I feel deprived because my parents never did take me as a small child to see sexual slavery movies. You know, I was deficient in my religious teaching that I didn't get to learn. We weren't even allowed to ring Song of Solomon, you know, or know what circumcision was until we were like a lot older, much, much less be taking the movies about this kind of stuff. So, but you know, they, I'll add you a little anecdote, because what disturbs me more than what I see and then disappears online is when the rubber touches the road in my own backyard. And I had a close relative the other day tell me that they had other relatives doing crowdfunding to get into a very, very expensive Christian school that I went to that used to be for the poor, and they didn't charge tuition because they wanted the poor in town to be able to go. Well, that now they've gone upscale, and they're upscale in the suburbs and competing with the, you know, elite private schools. But the money's got to get paid because they're all pedophiles in all of the public schools. And they force children all to change their gender when they go in the school. And this is what I was told. So this stuff, you know, I know it disappears online, but it gets in the id of people out here in middle America.
Very well said. Mm-hmm.
At least if it's weird enough. Now, if it's not that radical enough, they might let it. But if it's something that's more preposterous, they'll cling to that. You know, the other day, guy cut my grass, and he's been doing it for many, many, many years, older man. And the first thing he says when I open the door to get the check is, hey, did you hear about those lasers that lit that Maui fire?
Yeah.
And this is
undoubtedly
like
the Jewish space lasers, right? The yeah.
You know, I didn't find out whether they had Stars of David on the lasers or not, but the thing is,
well, we all know there's a war between the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. That's what's really going on.
Yeah, or it could be the Vatican, or who knows?
Right, Jesuit. But the thing is, that's like every day here in a fairly well-to-do community of people who are God-fearing, go to the Baptist church, yeah. Established middle class. Not people like just on the edge economically or desperate. These are people who are raising families. They look as clean scrubbed as middle America is normal, and they've all turned into extreme conspiracy theorists. Like the neighbor across the street when we're walking dogs, that she learned from our other militia guy in the neighborhood that Hitler wasn't all that bad a guy. And these are all church folk, you know, that do this. So the whole thing about the pedophiles running all of the schools, and I'm sure many Christian people who teach in public school maybe find a little offense at that, but the narrative's sticky. It has a stickiness to it, particularly with people who are highly superstitious.
Yeah, well, straight up, it is the folklore now. It's part of our folklore.
Right.
This is not like an original thought of mine, but there was a tweet that I was... someone explained the tweet to me that happened recently where someone was quote tweeting there's a post about David Lynch and Lana Del Rey both explore the dark side of the American dream through, you know, the very like standard take on those artists, right? We've all seen Blue Velvet. And the tweet responding to that was saying that this is an average and like normal take to have, but that the real like way to think about it is that like part of the American dream actually is that there is that like dark underside to the, you know, apple pie and baseball. And when I heard that, and you know, again, not my idea, I didn't come up with it, but that just really like clicked this whole thing into place for me. Like, why does this narrative keep coming up? You know, this is not the first time that the child theft for whatever, cult organizations or whatever is, it just keeps recurring. And like, why is that?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's an old trope, right? I mean, it's, people will go back to, they'll take it back to the blood libel stuff, you know, the Jews killing Christian children to put blood in the matzo balls. But I mean, it actually goes back further than that. I mean, you know, the Romans were saying that about the Christians, the early Christians. So, I mean, it goes back, you know, at least 2000 years. It's the easiest thing to get people worked up, because once you say you talk about their children, that is base level stuff. It's primal. Not just as humans, but as like mammals. It's just primal. It gets into that really like primal, like, dare I say it, lizard brain.
You know, to reinforce you, Adam, on that, when I was talking to this relative, talking about like they had to get away from all the pedophiles and the all the teachers were in public schools and changing their gender, and I started asking some sort of logical questions, not attacking, but just dispassionately, like, let's think through this. The response was, well, you're not a parent. You would look at it differently if you were a parent.
Right.
And that is, I've heard that on numerous occasions.
And that's key. That's key right there, because that
circumventing reason. Yeah.
That's it. You know, it's appealing to a very deep emotion.
My beloved late grandmother actually believed that the Catholic Church abducted young girls and made them become nuns.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that was going on at the time. Yes,
just wait till the episode we're about to release. That's actually in it.
That's, oh, wow, okay, that? yes she believed
the clan had speakers that said that, would invite speakers that said that very stuff, the 1920s.
What goes on in the confessional booth,
yes,
and all that kind of shit.
But yes, and you've hit the nail on the head with the parental thing, that there are a lot of people, and I'm not being judgmental, but it's one thing, they probably accept like gay marriage and, you know, are generally okay with LGBTQ people. But when it comes to their kids, well, hey, wait a minute, that's a whole different story. And they don't act rationally, they act irrationally. And that's, unfortunately, it's become a Republican talking point. So yeah, that's my take.
Well, Vincent, you're a father, right?
Oh, yes.
And you don't buy into this.
Hell no. Yeah, it's all crap. No, it's all BS. Come on. It's tolerance and inclusion instead of homophobia, and, you know, but I know that's what's being pushed.
I wanted to say that the white Russians really pushed their version of blood libel across the rest of the West after the Russian Revolution, all these immigrants. And that was kind of similar. What they pushed was this idea that the Jews are tied to these political subversives, and this is what they do. They ritualistically murder children, and they ritualistically murder the Tsar. It's kind of related to what's going on now. The narrative is that the political subversives are the ones after your kids also, because they're, you know, they're subverting everything, our way of life. They want to go to the heart of our way of life and take your kids. Like it's kind of the same playbook.
Absolutely. And that reaches people in a way that it shouldn't, but it definitely does. Absolutely.
I was just going to mention about what you were talking about, and it was brought up about the Vincent's grandmother, I believe, that believed in the women being abducted for the nunneries. I was just trying to see if Father Alberto Romero Rivera, I don't know if that name rings a bell. He was the guy who supposedly
Jack Chick rings a bell.
Okay, yeah, that's where I'm going with this. I was just trying to scan down here to see if that was one of his claims, because I'm guessing that's probably one of his claims in the Jack Chick tracks, was that's what was going on. And that's probably the right framework to look at all this, is in the Jack Chick worldview. It's like our whole world has become one great big Jack Chick track. Only the demons are.
Man, you really hit that. That's precisely what has happened. Yes.
My favorite Jack Chick track title is The Death Cookie. Do you know what the death cookie refers to?
Oh, yeah.
Just the communion. What's the communion?
Yeah, like?
The death cookie.
Did Keebler offer that ever as one of their products?
This is going to go on. There's something that I saw yesterday that someone posted on X, where they were talking about, just like straight up, reportedly something about adrenochrome, this like paper that was written about adrenochrome. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but says that there were these experiments that were done on people and like the effects of adrenochrome. I don't know where this comes from, but this could be absolutely fake. So, you know, so it says it was also reported that auditory hallucinations where the subjects felt like they were hearing codes from the universe or other auditory sounds. And some, they developed a very negative mindset, ambivalent, splitting of personality, weird creeping behavior, and other changes of personality. In terms of mood, six subjects reported euphoria and silly laughter, giggling. Three had anxiety, one was fearful, one became hostile and depressed. Very often, early tension or anxiety was replaced by euphoria and relaxation. So they go on and they said when they did experiments on animals, they had older adrenochrome and it ended up not doing anything or even killing the animals. When they did the human experiments, it was freshly made and therefore had more potency and effect. Now, put that in context in human trafficking and why it seems like the fresh sources are so sought after. Insane. You know,
I have to say that those behaviors, they said, sound a whole lot like a Benny Hinn crusade. Very similar euphoria characteristics. With the both. Probably a coincidence.
So let's talk about the Maui fires, because this is another thing that has gone completely crazy. And this is kind of lingering, even to the point where Mike said his, you know, the guy working on his house said, oh, did you hear about the space lasers in Maui? And I'm going to play this so you guys can get the real truth as to what is going on with these space lasers in Maui. And I want to thank Dr. Future for gifting this for me. Hopefully you guys can hear this. This is the truth of what caused the Maui fires.
And we have the extraordinary pleasure of being with a longtime guest here on Exopolitics TV, and that is Gary Peter Carlson. Over to you, Gary.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Alfred. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world. I guess these people with reptilian souls that are controlling the world are really pushing hard, causing a lot of destruction. I'm getting a few things. They had these big wildfires in Maui where they destroyed a lot of the island and killed maybe 100 people or something like that. And they tried to call it wildfires, but it was directed energy weapons because all the boats were catching on fire. That doesn't... A forced fire doesn't make the boats catch on fire. That's anybody can figure that one out. What I've been learning that I didn't know before is there's four different reptilian groups that are carving up the earth, and it kind of goes by regions. In the West, the draconians are controlling everything and pretty much controlling the world. The other reptilian groups are kind of subservient to them. And also in the West is a group called lizards. And they're trying to take over power from the draconians. And then in the Middle East, you got another group. I call them Reptilian A. And in Oriental Asia, the Oriental countries, I call Reptilian B. And the Reptilian B group had taken over Hawaii for quite a while, and the draconians didn't like that, and that's why they launched all this destruction of Maui to go against this other reptilian group. So,
man, I'm never gonna get that 2 minutes back.
All right, so there you go.
It sounds like some listeners have an alternative source for real information instead of Conspiranormal. You've just introduced a new rival on your show, Adam.
Yes, I may very well have. Yeah.
I mean, at least we can all rest easy that the draconians and the reptilians, there's no way they're going to get past that guy. That guy is defending humanity, and humanity can rest on his shoulders that they can't overcome him.
But like all this conspiracism around that was part of these narratives I've been seeing with other stuff, with urban unrest also. And the idea is that somehow these financial interests are organizing this so that they can buy up the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the same thing they're saying. Oh, they're funding Black Lives Matter so that they'll burn down the city and they're going to come in and buy everything. Whoever they are, somehow they can orchestrate this.
Yeah.
I mean, financial interests take advantage of disaster always. But that doesn't mean like they fucking master plan organized the whole thing.
Yeah. And specifically for some reason, people with this whole with the Maui fires have decided that they've set their sights on Oprah as the master, as the one that's the mastermind in this. Oprah and Obama and The Rock is involved. So Oprah, Obama, and The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, of course they are. You know?
Because apparently they own some homes there.
Well, what about Don Ho? Is anybody implicated Don Ho?
Well, they might. I mean, they very well may implicate Don Ho. I mean, I think you should start that, Mike. It's too bad you're not on X. You could get that going right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much with this, right? So the Maui fires, there are things with it that it seems like there was some irresponsibility there on the part of the government. Some things that could have been done to have made this less worse, because it was very, very bad.
And there's also part of the effects of climate change, but people are way more willing to believe that this is somehow some space-based weapon than they're willing to believe that this
is. I've seen a lot of these pictures of supposed directional energy weapons that were like on the islands too. And like, so people are taking pictures of military stuff. They don't even know what it is. And I'm in Hawaii and saying, oh, look, this is the directed energy weapon.
And apparently, like, there's this house that was on the water that was okay when everything else was burned around it.
How long did it take before anyone first, like, started seeing this bullshit? It seems like
it was quick. It was very quick. Like, as it was happening, as people were, like, literally, like, in the water waiting for the fire to stop. Practically instantly. Like, it's just these people, that's all they do. This is another thing. I'll digress a little bit here. There's also this phenomenon, and we know this well, right? People chasing this internet clout, and that's what they're doing. They're hopping on the latest thing. And in this case, it's some, like, negative conspiracy narrative, and that's what they're hopping on. So they're chasing clout. Or they might actually be paid by somebody to actually... to actually propagate these memes. But then it just gets out of control, right? It doesn't, you know, we don't know where it starts, where it begins.
If I may, I just want to go back, and I don't want to derail where we're going, but my favorite chick tract was Tricked. It was called Tricked, and it alleged that tens of thousands of kids were poisoned every Halloween.
Yes.
And that really never happens. The FBI did a study over a 20-year period, and they found that in 20 years, 20 kids had died, and 18 of them were killed by their parents. Okay? So, like, Halloween isn't like that. But the Chick Tract, which is still available if you go on the Chick website, says that you can buy that tract, and the hospitals are full every Halloween of poisoned children.
Or razor blades in their mouth.
Yes, yes.
You know, razor blades in the apples. That was the other thing.
Yes. And I'm not saying that never happened once somewhere, but that wasn't a regular thing. And yet it was proclaimed a regular thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
When I was in elementary school, just to add to that, they told us, you go out on Halloween. And this is in the middle of the mid-80s, right? You go out on Halloween.
That's the right time.
Make sure your parents are checking your food. Make sure that, like, they're, like, on the news, they were talking about apples with razor blades. I remember that. I remember being, like, terrified. Like, am I going to get an apple with a razor blade in it?
To this day, the police department x-rays, various police departments x-ray Halloween candy. They never find anything ever because that'd be so traceable, you know. But yeah, it's still a folklore, a meme that goes out there.
Right.
But
absolutely.
You think about it. There's a website that I really like. I go post on once in a blue moon called Kinder Trauma. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And it's all about talking about the things that traumatize you as a kid. A lot of it's movies, but sometimes it's public service announcements or commercials or, you know, weird characters. And I think their motto is your happy childhood ends here. And they have good, meaningful discussions. But the thing is, this stuff sticks with you. And I remember all of the razor blades and the apple kind of thing. And you know, Halloween 2, they had to portray that. Yeah, they're in the hospital, you know, with a kid with one in there, grossed everybody out. But think about where we've come now. Back then, we were worried about apples with a razor blade in or stuff like that. Now you've got kids having to do drills because shooters are coming in and going to shoot them. So you've got little elementary school kids assuming somebody's going to blast them away, and how to bind wounds with their neighbor kids on the playground, you know, to keep them from bleeding out. I mean, where are we going with this? What kind of messed up generation are we going to have? You know, I look at Ukraine and I see the stuff that the kids have been exposed to in Ukraine in that war. But then I think on a lesser degree, all this conspiracy stuff. And now these kids hear about this stuff, about the pedophile stuff. OK, it's not just to say don't get in the car. You know, people have said, you don't get a car, guy, with your candy. Well, now they're getting the details. They're getting, and then they add the Satanism on top of the sexual thing.
Well, five-year-olds will tell you about the Illuminati and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it is the ultimate kinder trauma. You know, you mentioned these track things because they're like worms or viruses that even when you're young, they don't ever leave your mind. There's something in there in the irrational back of your mind that will feed and perpetuate, and you don't even know it in your rational mind that it is perpetuating a fear that's made manifest in a different way. Well, now we're loading up kids with so much of this stuff. What kind of mess are they going to be 20 or 30 years from now with all this crap in their head?
Yeah, I wonder what the effect could be. I wonder if they're just numb to it all. Also,
become nihilistic.
As that could just be like, you know, one of the things. But Vincent, what was the point you were going to make about the Maui fires?
Just that people have a way of believing. You can believe in laser weapons, but you can't believe that like a wildfire might start, you know? It's been, everything's political now, and it's crazy to me how something that is an obvious natural disaster can be transformed into a political talking point. And I mean, that was basically what I was going to say, that, you know, people are way more ready to believe some vast conspiracy and like the government shot lasers into the trees or something, instead of what usually happens, which is somebody was irresponsibly smoking or something. Or again, we're in Hawaii. There's lava, you know, things happen. That doesn't seem really that weird, you know, but the anticipation is set up for something very bad. That's kind of what I was getting at.
And then to make it seem like it's the same group of people that they are against you, and they're going to take your home, and they're going to do this, and like that feeds into it as well.
To say, I tried to explain to my grass cutting man about the laser practically because I said, you know, for a while I was the coronated Air Force expert on vulnerability to lasers, at least for aircraft. That was part of my job. And I took graduate courses on lasers and then how they could, you know, function and what it took, the energy that had to be deposited. And I explained to him it would take such a load of energy, and particularly with the dissipation, lasers still dissipate, to be able to create something like that. And that doesn't even address the motive. What motive would somebody have? That would be a little bit more expensive than just paying a kid to go light some dry foliage out there if that's what you wanted to do.
Right.
But you know what happens is...
There you go. Motive. What the hell is the motive?
They would say it's because they want to destroy all that property and they're going to come in. Another thing that I see, I don't even know what it is because I guess I'm too lazy to look it up. Mike, you may know, or one of you guys may know. These people, and I say they.
That's who we're talking about.
They, who I'm talking about, these people on all these people on X, all these accounts. It's BlackRock. BlackRock is doing it.
Oh, that's a big one now, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess BlackRock is some... You know, I don't even know what BlackRock is. What's BlackRock, Sergio?
I don't know that much, but they are legitimately a huge real estate company.
Yeah,
that owns, pardon my French, a shit ton of real estate all over the country.
I would still call them bad guys in my book, but
yes, I would concur with that. Sure. But they're a major corporation, and they own a lot of property, and they, you know, mostly do rentals, but they sell real estate. They're a real estate company, and they're connected to some stuff. There may be some kernel of truth there, but that's who they are. They're a big-time real estate company. I mean, that is what it is, you know?
But there's much more practical ways to get things done if you want to evict people.
Right.
You know, if you go back and look at Don't Mess with the Zohan, you know, the way the money people, and this was, you know, I thought it was pretty savvy. The way the money people wanted to clear out the Middle East, of which they were using that New York neighborhood as microcosm, is to cause civil war. You cause civil war, you bring everything down, and then you swoop in. And I thought that was a clever, I guess, Robert Smigel or whoever those guys that wrote that put that together. Now, if you want to do it on a small scale, you just do like we saw in Death Promise, the movie, where you just take a box of rats and you pour it in the tenement, and then that chases all the residents out. So... You know, lasers are like way down the list on cost effectiveness if you just want to clean out the neighborhood.
Right.
Precisely. You just hire some goons. You don't need the Air Force to get involved, you know.
I wonder how much of this stuff comes from, like, left-wing trolls, people on the other side of this aisle, right? Because a lot of the people that promote this stuff are right-wing. You can tell that. If you look at the context of what they're saying, you look at their viewpoints on other things, but I wonder how much of this stuff might come from left wing trolls, just to see what bait.
Or other countries, man. I mean, we know the MO of the Russians was just let's just work both sides and just have them fighting each other. They don't care where. Like that's just the point. Right. Just keep us arguing.
The Russians. Back in 2016, this actually happened. The Russian trolls set up a meeting of a Black Lives Matter group and a white power group at the same location just to create what would naturally happen, you know, what would be a very bad idea. But
yeah,
they weren't working for us. They're working against us. So, yeah, that's what happened. They do stuff like that.
Where did you see that story?
I can't recall because it's a few years ago, but it
happened. I remember this.
Texas,
I remember this, and I think Jose Herrera talked about this too. He talked about
it's in one of the big reports.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. What was the one in the UK that was doing that with Brexit? They were doing their similar things. I can't remember the name of that company.
It was a Data Analytica or something. Analytica.
Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge. Yeah, that was it.
Cambridge.
Yeah. I mean, it was all just a ways of using social media as a means of propaganda. essentially.
I mean, this gets really dumb, Adam. You shared this. You shared it with everybody. These pictures from a children's book named Maui and the Secret Fire that came out in 2020. Yeah. Just another long list of examples of predicted programming and revelation of the method. So, like, somehow someone made a children's book with fire and Pacific Islander themes. I don't know. It doesn't even, who knows where these fucking pictures come from? It's all about any decontextualized picture. You can say anything, and then someone's going to screenshot that. Yeah. It's just
all that revelation of the method stuff.
What were you saying, Chris?
It's just, I mean, it's not like an original thought that I have, but, it's people trying to bring order to their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their own lives. And, you know,
I mean, I'm a synchromystic in a way, but I think it has more to deal with the nature of reality and things like that, with coincidence and synchronicity. But like, this is about, you know, everything being a master plan down to a fucking children's book. Definitely not have time to get in all that now, but
they're almost and like conspiratorial Calvinists.
Elaborate on that.
Well, in that every single thing and action we take somehow has a puppet master above us that controls. It's like the conspiracy people are predestining everything with us, as opposed to a God, you know. And both views are totally dystopian. You know, and on the religious front on this, I don't know if you all remember. I vaguely remember during the COVID time, didn't I come on your show to talk about that? And I played a little clip off of the original Dawn of the Dead movie with the scientist that was trying to scream rationality to everybody. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And yeah. He was just saying, you know, we can't lose our minds. We can't, you know, we must think rational. We must think rational or it's all over. And when you listen to that clip, and it was the zombie apocalypse, it was the same thing happening with COVID. It was exacerbating it to be really bad because of all of these people making it bad and not the real threat itself. And the guy was saying, if we don't get our heads together, it's all over. And that's where I think institutions like our religious institutions and communities should band together and say, let's knock it off with all this conspiracy theory stuff. Now, I know it'll probably never happen, but I'm just saying, you know what? It would give them so much positive PR in society if they could stand shoulder to shoulder and say, come on, folk, let's get back to being educated 21st century, you know, modern, rational human beings.
I mean, I think there's a change in
Christianity
and American spirituality. I mean, I think this stuff is really, it's incorporated into it now. It's a part of
you. And that's why I assume that'll never happen.
Yeah.
Dr. Fisher, you are a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm going to bring up the article that you guys sent to me where a number of evangelicals preferred Donald Trump's teachings to those of the actual Jesus Christ. And, you know, that impressed me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can talk about that. That was an article. We talked about this on my show. Basically, head of the Southern Baptist Convention. What was the guy's name? I can look it up.
Russell Moore.
Yeah,
he used to head the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, which was sort of an influential societal mouthpiece. And he got run off because he was too kind to people who were different. And he was trying to be a modern person, still highly conservative. But he ran afoul of that, so he was sent adrift.
So in an NPR, which NPR, my God, they're part of the adrenochrome.
Vast communist conspiracy.
Communist conspiracy. Steal our bodily fluids. So, I don't know. Take this with a grain of salt, guys. In the interview, he says this, and this is about pastors that he's talked to from other Baptist churches, I'm assuming, and other evangelical churches. He says, multiple pastors tell me essentially the same story about quoting the Sermon on the Mount, parenthetically, in their preaching. Turn the other cheek. And to have someone come up after to say, where did you get those liberal talking points more revealed? And what was alarming to me is that in most of these scenarios, when the pastor would say, I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ, the response would not be, I apologize. The response would be, yes, but that doesn't work anymore. That's weak. And apparently that's multiple pastors that have told him that. Not one, not two, but multiple people that have told him that. That their congregations are saying those type of things. Those woke liberal values that right. Christ, you know, the founder of their faith.
They're a danger to society. You know, a few years ago, I grabbed hold of an article off of Fox News. And, you know, it has a high Christian viewership. And it was from the philosophical director of the Ayn Rand Institute, one of the top officials there. And the title of it was that America needs to decide to follow Jesus Christ or Ayn Rand. And this person was saying, basically, Jesus taught about turning the other cheek and loving your enemy. And they said there, those are all just weak words. And we know that would make America weak. And America, and I appreciate them being plain spoken. They said, you have to choose. Are you going to follow Ayn Rand and strength and looking out? I mean, basically Darwinism, looking out for yourself. Or are you going to look out like for your brother and be your brother's keeper and take care of the weaker people like that? And, you know, right around that same time, I saw all those Christian community people out there in the political crowds with signs saying Ayn Rand was right. And the movies that came out, like Atlas Shrugged and stuff, that was promoted heavily in Christian circles. And I knew a lot of my Christian friends who got on that bandwagon because liberty sounds good, individual freedom, self-sufficiency, those all sound good. But that's the way a jungle operates. I mean, that's not civilization. That's just every person for themselves. But that all ties into that. So these roots go back. You know, the whole Ayn Rand, the individualistic libertarian. And as I've talked about in my book and on the show, pushing this Christian libertarianism goes back all the way to like 1940, where it was all big business funded for this kind of thing. So, I mean, obviously, those people saying those things are the fruit of what? 75 years of propaganda?
Mm-hmm. Man.
They wouldn't recognize the gospel that they supposed to follow if you stuck it on the end of their nose.
I was a teenage Ayn Rand head. I read everything she ever wrote, and I've left that behind. But at the time, it made a lot of sense. Uh-huh. When I was at a certain age and didn't have a lot of real world experience, and you know, it was very appealing. And it made sense. If you just look at that belief system, it makes sense. And if you have no experience with the real world, you know, and it's become incredibly influential. The former Speaker of the House, I'm blanking out his name, Paul Ryan. Precisely, yeah. From my state. Yeah. He's an Ayn Rand follower. And I used to be an Ayn Rand follower. I got over that about like the age of 20 or so. But anyway, because I was in the Marine Corps and basically we were practicing communism, according to her, you know. So, yeah. But no, she's incredibly influential. And her philosophy is ultra individualistic, ultra take care of yourself, screw everybody else. You take care of you, they can go to hell. You know, that's kind of her basic message. And that holds a huge sway in the entire right wing, which is amazing because these guys are all like white Christians, but she was an atheist Jewish person. And they're fine with that. No problem. But she's okay, you know? And it has a huge influence. And that's continued to this day. And that's not a good way to see the world, because, yeah, she didn't believe that racism existed in like 1980. Okay. I'm pretty sure it did, you know, and all of the roots of a lot of stuff does come from her. Now, she was a brilliant novelist. I will say that. I have read all of her novels, and they're really well written. But she wasn't a great economist or a political scientist or a historian or anything like that, okay? She had a huge grudge against the Soviet Union, yeah, because that's where she grew up. And they took everything she had, and her family had to move away to America. And she came to America and experienced the American dream and became a popular novelist. And yeah, but her stuff is really poisonous if you get down to it, you know. But I know it has a huge influence on what goes on the right. And you know who else really loved Ayn Rand? Anton LaVey from The Church of Satan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He, in fact, said plain and bluntly, "I just tell people Ayn Rand's ideology with some ritual mixed in. That's what I do." Okay. That's what The Church of Satan is. I just give them Ayn Rand ideology, and we do some magical stuff too, but that's it. He said this publicly, like in an interview with like the Washington Post or something. So, I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'll let it go at that point.
Well, you can look at the fruit of these people at how well they brought freedom to people. How well did they do it? You know, the real corollary to Ayn Rand is Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley brought freedom through his Thelema and things like that. And what happened? You had basically two devastated, totally frustrated, angry, alone founders in a wake of destroyed lives in their wake. Even the people most devoted to both of them, they destroyed all of them and then finally themselves. That doesn't sound really appealing to me. And I don't know if I expect from that kind of well to draw living water that is going to find something to give me long-term peace and contentment, or for a society, if they can't even do it in their own inner circle.
Well, Crowley, I mean, you know, he died a heroin addict, you know. That's your spiritual leader. Go for it, you know.
Right.
Well, but so religion's pretty adaptable. And
well, if I could say this, in the time of the social gospel of the 20s, it was sort of countercultural because it tried to push back on the industrial age and all the people getting drug into the slums and things like that.
Yeah.
But in a way, I mean, I accept that you're right in that the technique they used to let the economics drive the religion was that the robber barons said, "We can't stop the New Deal because we're a minority of people, businesses and bankers. We've got to build something that's a diluted majority to support the wishes of an elite few." And so that's when they built Christian media in 1940 with this new gospel that somehow made that praiseworthy, to be selfish, to be self-centered, to focus on your own enrichment. And so they started building that as somehow a spiritual thing. And so, I mean, in a way, you're right. The economy did derive the religion, but that was the technique how they did it. If you've got a economy that makes lots of rich people and they have lots of disposable income, then they can go write their own religion. And once mass media became available, then you gave them the tool that if you had enough money, mass media is basically like a sledgehammer in everybody's home, hitting them in the head with the message.
Yeah. I think it's a lot less pluralistic, and you're right. It is way more of a conspiratorial thing as far as how we got here.
Interesting. Couple of things I'll get you guys' thoughts on. Okay. So one is another recent conspiracy thing, which has also now died down. is that we are going to have another lockdown. This is in response to a few schools, universities, saying they're going to start doing mask mandates because of COVID rates are spiking. There's also a new variant that is out there, which as hearing as of yesterday, that they're saying it's not as big of a deal. It's less contagious and not as deadly. So that's good. We hear about these things from time to time. This is just life now in the COVID, because it's with us now forever. So this was started by Alex Jones, and it was interesting that this was started just as Trump was going to Georgia to get indicted. It was interesting how it was very much a deflection from what was going on with Trump. And all of a sudden they were saying, oh, we're going to have this lockdown, but we're not going to comply with the lockdown. And people say, we're not going to have another lockdown. It's not going to happen. So that was another thing that has come up in the last few weeks that I thought was pretty interesting. So any thoughts on that?
I would be stunned if we had another lockdown for any reason.
It ain't gonna
happen. Just doesn't seem to work. Now, okay, I'm just going to say this, and this is my opinion. I speak only for myself. But the authorities were very soft on when white people were out there protesting the lockdowns. And then they had to follow that precedent when Black Lives Matter were out doing the same thing. And maybe they should have come down hard and dispersed those crowds early on. But it's all water under the bridge now. But there's no way I see any more lockdowns. That's just such a politically does not work. And nobody's going to do that. That's my take for what it's worth. I've had all the vaccinations and I'm signed up for all the rest, but I don't see that happening. Yeah, I think it was just also, I'm sorry, give me just 2 seconds. I saw the mugshot, and that's the rich white equivalent of having tattoos on your face. Okay. It's terrible. It's like saying I did it. Okay. You know, you want your client to look innocent, not look like I'm going to kill you as soon as I get off of this. You know, my take, I'm done now.
You know, that looked like the big brother is watching you face to me. It looked like the kind of picture you'd have, like, you know, looking over you on everywhere, you know, from 1984. As far as like the COVID thing, I wonder what China is going to do. I mean, they're an authoritarian country that didn't have to ask anybody in the public. So they're going to make it purely not on what the people feel, but just pragmatic issues. They've got big, big problems in China right now with the real estate collapse. And everybody's money, their investments are all in real estate. And so they've got this major, major crisis in China, the demographic crisis. They've got all these cities that are the size of major cities that are unused. And so could they even withstand economically another shutdown, even though I think they have the authority to do it and the ability to enforce it? I don't know if they'll do the numbers and figure it out, or whether they'd just rather winnow the herd.
Yeah, they might just do another COVID strike. The American play and just let it burn. But I think that's a larger point when we were talking about the mugshot, is that our Watergate moment is happening right now. One of the biggest revealed political conspiracies of American history is like happening. And meanwhile, everyone is chasing these phantoms of fucking lasers causing fires and you know, all this stuff. It's, you know, what if someone was asking you about a thing as historical as like Watergate was, and you were like, well, I was busy, I don't know, insert whatever, you know, total bullshit. It's gonna look kind of funny. I think
the reason that I feel that you won't see another lockdown is that the initial lockdown period quote unquote lockdown period gave people the sort of like the time to mobilize on actual political issues. Like you had that really big uprising in the summer of 2020 with Black Lives Matter, and you had all these people really like politically motivated on like sort of one big front, one big issue. And I think you know, I guess the powers that be are cognizant of that and aware that that you could have people you know, saying things like the defund police again, and obviously they don't want that, unfortunately. I think the reason they keep people at work is because people aren't at work, they start to realize just how shoddy the material conditions of their everyday lives are, especially if they're not white. You know, they had a bad time handling it before. They're probably not much better equipped to handle it now. So for that simple fact, I think, you know, they're going to say, maybe they'll say mask up, but they're going to try and downplay it unless something really catastrophic starts happening.
Well, yeah, and they don't want to pay people. They don't want people getting too used to getting checks from the government like that. Like all the people who did, you know, that's like a ticking time bomb for them. We're like, oh shit, if they get used to this, if we show them that we can redistribute wealth like this, oh shit, what are we going to do? You know, get them back to work.
I'd like to give Joe Biden a hell yeah for those parental checks. You're welcome.
Well, I mean, just to say that my main thing is it seems like that was really coordinated to distract from the Trump legal issues. Like those were his boys trying to be like, okay, we're going to start another lockdown and maybe try to cause some kind of social chaos along with it, to get people out on the streets. But it apparently has not worked. And that's the thing about some of this stuff is like, it doesn't have to work necessarily. It just has to just be out there. Like we said, it get like Dr. Future said, it gets into the id. You know, one final thing before we stop here, a funny story, back in June, I think it was in June. I actually read this on Mike's show, a person that, actually they're a member of the Satanic Temple. If you guys are familiar with that, that's the group that does all the kind of activism where they try to say, well, if we have real freedom of religion in this country, then, you know, we should have like after school Satan and all this type of silly stuff.
But God, I hate those people. Go ahead.
She got on ChatGPT and she created these images that look very real of demonic, like Baphomet like statues in the middle of Hobby Lobby, which is like a Christian store. And this got posted to the internet and posted to Facebook especially. And people were actually saying they were going to boycott Hobby Lobby. It's Christian evangelicals, they were going to boycott Hobby Lobby because they actually thought Hobby Lobby was selling demonic statues in their stores.
And they weren't like little small trinkets. They were like these enormous things, like a blow up, like you'd have in the front of your house. It would take up like all of the shelf space on an aisle, one of these things. I guess they figured they want to take up that floor space of the huge Baphomet. You could see it from the far end of the store. They were so big.
Hell yeah, that would have been awesome.
These are just fake pictures.
Where is Jack Chick when we need him?
Home Depot's pretty rad around Halloween time. It's like a giant Santa Muerte temple.
Get ready for 2024 and the ChatGPT and AI stuff that people are going to be generating.
Yeah,
I think a few years of really like idiotic, sort of like ridiculous stuff tricking the boomers.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. You are absolutely right about that. There are people that believe that stuff is real.
Not an original take on my part, by the way. I'm not trying to sound smart or anything.
Well, we all know, man. It's, yeah, for sure.
If you're a bad guy, that's who you want to fool. People who are old and have money. That sounds about right, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the game, you know? It's terrible, but it is what's actually happening.
You know, absolutely, it's funny that you all have me on, because I'm like the elderly representative of Conspiranormal. And most of your listeners and guests are far hipper than me, and they hang out in places where they see where the real cutting edge is going on. And the only time I'm on X is to go to maybe find out things are happening on the ground in the Ukraine war.
We want to see Dr. Future on X for real.
No, but I mean, I get immersion, all that propaganda. But there is enough for us old geezers, particularly people who have some kind of remote kind of Christian or religious connection, in your email basket. It doesn't even have to be on what we consider social media. Today was an average day I had today in my email. Okay. Now, this is like the generic Christian stuff. On my Future Quake email, I get the exopolitics stuff. But on the Christian one, WorldNet Daily, Biden has created the largest child trafficking ring in U.S. history. So this is one accomplishment Biden has. He has created the large trafficking ring. Then Jack Hibbs, like one of the most influential pastors in America in Calvary Chapels, which we are familiar with, Adam and I, they supposedly just read the Bible one verse at a time, and that's all they do, except they get involved in promoting videos about assaulting the Capitol and that stuff. Well, Jack Hibbs today said, our kids are literally being sacrificed. And this is my daily feed of just plain old-fashioned old people emails. So if you can imagine what's going on in social media and 8chan and 4chan and all this cutting edge stuff, the old fashioned stuff, that's doing a good enough job itself, and it's saturating every day.
Oh, I totally got you. I'm 52 and I'm not on much social media, but my email is full with that crap every damn day. Yeah, that happens.
What was the one, Mike, just recently from Skywatch that we were trying to figure out what it was that they were even talking about?
Oh.
It was like USARA or something like that. It was just like, it was just bizarre.
It's the same problem that the, you know, like the Pentecostal revival shows have. How do they outdo themselves? How do they keep an audience that gets dulled with something bigger? Let's see if I can find it here. But you know, I've described Skywatch on here as the grindhouse of God's exploitation.
It was perfect. Amaruka was the original occult infiltration into America? Question mark. It's like, what?
Well, it should be self-explanatory. I was thought you were, you know, a couple people you haven't mentioned for the old Christian crowd that should be favorites are people like Rabbi Jonathan Kahn of the Harbinger, because he has done
the prophetic. Who you had on Future Quake back in the day?
No, I had another guy who was said the same thing.
Yeah. It was like his promotional guy or something.
No, it was some individual guy that he began the show by saying, "I've led a miserable and wretched existence," and that was his introduction to the audience. No, Jonathan Kahn has been talking about the mystery of Barbie, about how the ancients had
predicted
Barbie, and but you know, people look up Barbie on keyword search, and he probably gets a lot of new stuff just because somebody types in Barbie or Transformers or Minions.
That's the point. That's the point. It's getting those hits. It's getting those likes. That's it. It's keywords. It's internet clout. That's what it is. That's the game.
The other guy that I will personally tell you on the pseudo Christian MAGA crowd to keep an eye on, the ringleader is Lance Wallnau. He's the ringleader of the Kansas City Prophets, the whole Dominionism. He's the real centerpiece of the Dominions. He is a marketing operator. He's an old school New York barefisted businessman that used to give these inspirational crusade talks about the Elijah's army of young people that are going to act like they're demonized and take over the country by using violence for God. Well, there was just a report from him because he's on, I don't know if you all watch, what's the news? You've got OAN, which is to the right of Fox News, and then you got America's Voice, which is to the right of OAN. And you can get that on Pluto TV or all that stuff. Well, he's got a show on there. Well, the recent report was MAGA cultist Lance Wallno says he was praying recently and a mysterious man whispered in his ear that Donald Trump will be elected for one more term, after which the Antichrist will emerge. By the time Wallno turned around, the man had already disappeared.
Mysterious men.
I consider the source, you know.
You're speechless. And here in our town, we've got our local guy, Greg Locke, the pastor, who just took a hammer, or it was a hammer with Bibles on it, a big stick, and he used the Bibles to smash a Barbie dream house to, I think, teach some kind of spiritual value.
Yeah, that sounds totally gospel, you know, that makes sense.
I used to think it was bad during the anti-Sharia craze. I mean, that Lord. Was nothing compared to what we have now.
Right on. Sharia. American Muslims are like 1% of the population, and they're going to take over and enforce Sharia law. That's universe is this happening?
Here you go being rational again.
That's a good point, Dr. Future, because it used to be more external, but it's even more internal now, it seems like.
But now they hate everybody, not just like one narrow religion. They've learned on that. They learned on anti-Sharia how to be absurd, ridiculous, and to work themselves up into a fever, you know, in a mad crowd. And now they said, hey, why don't we apply this to a wider circle of our neighbors?
And now you really, here in the United States, you don't hear about the anti-Sharia stuff. You don't hear about the anti-Muslim stuff anymore. If anything, you've got this really kind of broad-based traditionalist movement that includes both Christians and Muslims.
Yeah.
So now they've like joined together.
You know, I think there's a little bit more skepticism on the Muslim side because I don't think they have the trust of that crowd. But yeah, your point is well taken. And that's why I have to remind myself even to use the term religious right instead of like evangelical. Because not only is there a sliver of evangelicals that are appalled by all this, but it's really an axis of hard right Catholics that are, you know, Vatican I or pre-Vatican I. It's the hard right evangelicals, hard right Calvinist, you know, the old like, Western Michigan crowd. And then you got the Mormons. The hard right Mormons, which is a large group of people, that's where they have all the commonalities. And of course, when they decide which one gets to lead, that's when they'll find it out.
Right. That's what I was about to say. As soon as they get rid of the common enemy, then they'll start fighting each other.
Right. You hit the nail on the head, man.
Yeah.
If I may, all the fundamentalists basically agree. Like, you got traditionalist Catholics, you got extreme Protestants, you got Muslims, I mean, Orthodox, you know, hardcore Muslims, you've got Orthodox Jews, you've got all these groups that basically agree on the way society should be. Which is very patriarchal, very anti-sexual, and very, you know, a lot of things. But they basically all agree on the basics, you know? And it doesn't take a leap forward that they might work together, you know? Because they basically all want the same thing. Mm-hmm. Which is a medieval society, and that's kind of their thing. I mean, that's my take on it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's how I sort of describe it similar. The conservative vision is the dark ages. It's an era of very, very limited education, distrust of science, an era of dark superstition, autocratic religious leadership, of feudalism with a few very powerful and, you know, and then everybody else worker bees. Everything that we think of as the Dark Ages is what they extol and what they'd like to restore.
Precisely.
Right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you. All right, guys. I think we'll stop there. I want to thank you guys for doing this tonight, being a part of this. I think this was good. I want to try to maybe do some more of these, you know, pick some topics. I mean, there's going to always be these crazy conspiracy stuff coming out of the woodwork. So if you guys would like to do this again, we will definitely do it. But I think we'll go down the list. Vincent, let's start with you. Where can people find you and find your podcast?
The Weird Part with Vincent Truewell, at vincenttruewell.com. Otherwise, just look me up on YouTube under Vincent Truewell or on my podcast, which is available on most podcatchers as The Weird Part with Vincent Truewell. Yeah, I do this stuff all the time. And hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. We're hoping to see you in November. And
hell yeah, I'm going to be there. Hell or high water. Get it.
And Dr. Future, where can people find the great Dr. Michael Bennett?
Well, hopefully nowhere if I hole out good enough. If the witness protection program works well enough for me. Hey, I want to first tell my new friends, Vincent and Chris, how much I enjoyed listening to them. And that was such a breath of fresh air compared to some of the other crowd that I hang out with. I could listen to both of you all, like, all the time. So I'm going to have to,
look
you all
here.
Up some more. I really mean that. Now, these other two guys I have to listen to, but you two, it's, like, awesome. And as far as me, I'm extremely unproductive as an old guy, and I should be able to do a lot more, but I do try to crack out a weekly show on the Two Spies Report that airs. It's actually on old-fashioned radio, old-fashioned 103.7 FM here in Nashville, community radio, or 107.1. If you're not within metropolitan Nashville, you can stream it live at radiofreenashville.org. And with Adam's prodding, I'm going to eventually figure out this video editing and take the video versions and get them up on YouTube. And
please,
probably take over YouTube. I'm thinking the kind of material I cover will probably push off all of the nonstop clickbait that is all that YouTube mostly is just clickbait. I may have to be a little indecent on there to be able to draw the clicks, but whatever it takes. So anyway, I'm doing that. I'm hopefully going to get some more books out here before too long. I think the futurequake.com archive show now is non-hacked again, and you can get the old shows off of there for a lot of people who've since died. They had their interviews up there on futurequake.com, and some guys like Alvin Toffler and some other people who aren't around anymore to talk. So anyway, hey, thanks for inviting me. Sorry, I don't mean to rattle on, but I just enjoy this crowd so much, and it inspires me. It gets my wheels turning. So thank you for the invite. I'm really flattered.
All right, thank you for being a part of this, Mike.
Hell yeah. Real quick, I didn't know you had interviewed Alvin Toffler.
Yeah. Can you believe that? I was thinking it was closer to like the very beginning of Future Quake, 2005. It may have been as late as say 2007, but it's their archive. You can hear him and his wife Heidi, I think, on there. And I just, you know, that was sort of the original thing for me to think about the futurist Dr. Future concept was just knowing about him. And, you know, I tipped my hat to him that he was to take a nobody like me and to come on the show.
That's cool.
So, yeah, you know, guys like Joe Bob Briggs somehow got them on the show, and some nefarious characters, and I was able to get Alex Jones to flesh out a little bit more about what he saw there at Bohemian Grove, which was sort of interesting historically, you know, just for archive purposes. But some other people who have since gone on or disappeared gave, you know, like the guys that were survived the USS Liberty that had the Israeli Air Force attack in there in 67.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was able to get them on the record with some information and some other people that, you know, I'm glad for history's sake was able to preserve that. So, and then there's a lot of crap on there that I would disavow, but, you know, it's the way it goes.
We all grow.
Right.
Yep. And Chris Corey.
I'm not, you can't find me anywhere right now.
You got some new music projects, man?
Maybe some stuff coming up soon.
Give any plugs.
You can find me at the Conspiracy Bookstore with Adam Sane on September 11th. Perfect day to go look at weird old books.
Nice.
But I appreciate you guys. It's always good to talk to you guys and shoot the shit and have fun.
For sure.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to you as well. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Thank you for joining us. The most important thing right now in our world is Strange Realities Conference is coming up November 3rd through the 4th in Nashville, Tennessee, and also online. And on November 5th, there will be an online only day. But we would love to see you come to Nashville and be a part of it and join in on the festivities. And if you are also interested in supporting us and supporting what we do on this show, Servio can tell you where to find our Patreon.
You can find that and join the number of these esteemed gentlemen by joining the International Association of Conspiranormalists, the Mystic Crew of Conspiranormal, and the Ancient Circle of Strange Realities over at patreon.com/conspiranormal.
Okay, guys, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with another episode soon on Conspiranormal.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.